Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
It is Niall Boylan with you right through to 2 o'clock this afternoon. Somebody wants to know, what is the name of that new legislation again? It was a bit long-winded. Yeah, it's called the Preservation and Protection and Other Emergency Measures in the Public Interest Bill 2020. It's a bit of a long name for a bill. And another person mentions, hi Niall and team, great show, but these new temporary laws will just end up being like USC charges. Can't come on, says Derek and Ballier. Another person says, no, we need to cancel all foreign aid money being paid out and divert it to workers forced out of work by this caretaker government, says Damo. Damo, I would agree with you, but I would assume that we're not sending off 540 million again in foreign aid this year, that money has to be kept in our own little kitty. Can't believe the government are paying the teachers full pay, says somebody else. They're scrolling past me too fast here. While the private employee citizens are being treated differently. My husband is self-employed and not working because of COVID-19. No work for him. However, I've witnessed locally that teachers who are not working at the moment and being fully paid are out buying gifts for their children to play with, i.e. soccer goalposts and trampolines. Where we are worried six about how to put a meal on the table for our children. This government, once again, are not doing enough. Alright, well look, it is up to the government to do more, and I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes, but it's also up to us to do more as well, and Professor Luke O'Neill from Trinity College is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Luke.
Hiya, Niall.
It is up to us to do a little bit more, and we're all talking about the hygiene and the hand washing and the social distancing, but we're not talking about protecting our bodies, and that's something that kind of seems to be getting a little bit lost in all this.
Absolutely, though. Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is your immune system is your friend here, remember. It'll defend you against this virus. So there's lots of things you can do to boost your immune system and get it working properly and defend yourself against this nasty germ, you know.
Okay, and now there was myths online that doctors in America said vitamin C cures the COVID virus. It doesn't cure it, but certainly it helps your body, doesn't it?
Not really, you know, and that's been a myth for over 50 years, take loads of vitamin C, you know. Now, if you've got a normal, balanced diet, you get plenty of vitamin C. You don't need to take any more, basically. And remember, vitamin C is water-soluble, which means it dissolves into your wee.
Right.
You wee it away. So if you take in extra vitamin C, you just wee it into your toilet.
Is that why we have orange wee in the morning?
It is indeed. That's right. Yeah. But if you have a balanced diet, a bit of fruit and veg, that's plenty of vitamin C. Now, you need vitamin C. It is important for the immune system. But you can get it normally in your normal diet. A more important one now is vitamin D. That's really important.
Right, and where do we get that, or what do we get that from?
Well, the sunlight on your skin, amazingly. If the sun hits your skin, you make vitamin D in your skin.
Well, that's not going to be good if we're all self-isolating in a house, is it?
Well, that's and in the winter. You know, one reason we get more colds and flu in the winter is we're not making enough vitamin D, you see, because not enough sunlight. So there's a big recommendation to take vitamin D. You can get it in fish. You can get it in eggs, you know, you can get it in milk. You know, some of the milks are supplemented with vitamin D, and that's a really useful thing.
Okay, what about like fish oil tablets and stuff like that?
All that stuff is great. Fish oil is really good. And your immune system is in your blood. Now all these little white blood cells are swimming away, you know, looking for the virus, trying to hunt it down, you see. And it likes fish oil. The immune system loves fish oil. It loves vitamin D, as well as other nutrients as well, of course. So a good, healthy diet.
Now, before we go any further, I don't want people running out to the shops and reeking the shelves of fish oil suddenly because we've said it today. But all those things are important. That's only part of it. So in other words, it's important to stay healthy, Luke. That's the point, isn't it?
It is. And a regular diet. Now, nothing fancy here. Just a regular, balanced diet. You can buy a bit of veg, you know. Bit of meat, bit of fish, or whatever, bit of cheese, all the usual things, really. And just don't overdo it on the stuff that's bad for you. The immune system doesn't like fatty foods, for example, so try and limit fat intake.
Well, okay, so I'm not the healthiest person in the world, Luke. You know, I'm living on quite a lot of takeaways, you know, Chinese takeaways and all that kind of stuff. Probably not the best thing I should be eating. Although yesterday I did have I had some mince and potatoes and butter and beans.
Good man, beans are great.
Yeah, beans
are brilliant.
Beans, right. They do cause a little bit of flatulence every now and again.
But they're good. Keep eating those. Yeah, that's a really good thing.
But Luke, I watched you on TV last night on primetime because you do tend to star in a lot of these programs because you're a man of wisdom. And I saw you sitting at your front door whilst being interviewed at the end of the garden, keeping your social distancing. And you were comparing this to World War II.
Absolutely.
And I know you were quite adamant about the lockdowns and everything else. It's very difficult to tell people we want to take away your liberty, isn't it?
That's the tricky bit, Niall. And I mean, I have full sympathy for people who are stuck in their houses and they can't work, of course. It's a massive economic hit and it's awful for people, you know. But the fact of the matter is, to get this virus under control, and it's essential we do it, by the way, stay away from each other. That's the bottom line. It's a very simple message. Because, of course,
I agree with you, but in RTE, one of the presenters or somebody said we should be treating people like pariahs. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that's treating people like social outcasts is probably not the best way forward either.
It's a bit of a strong word for it, all right. But we definitely need to, sadly, we're very social with people, aren't we now? We've got to stay apart from each other for the next month or so now. It doesn't go on forever.
But particularly Irish people. I mean, if we were living somewhere like Hong Kong, we'd be used to kind of ignoring each other in some sense and wearing masks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But we're Irish and we love an old hug and we love an old shake hands.
You see, scientists, us scientists are great. We avoid people anyway, us scientists. We're a bit reclusive, so
and by the way, the long-term effect of this, Luke, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There's lots of different things we're hearing in the news about different cures and vaccinations on the way, hopefully soon. And there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This won't last forever. I mean, is there a case where, you know, socially we're being reconditioned and we're all going to turn into germophobes going forward?
Good Lord, I hope not. No, yeah, that's a good point, actually. We don't get too clean either, mind you, you know. But we've got to give people hope, Niall, because the amount of effort that the scientists are putting into this is remarkable. You know, everybody is working their socks off, you know, to get a vaccine, to get treatments to stop the damage to the lungs when you've infected. It's unbelievable.
Are you excited by any of the treatments that you're listening to? I know Donald Trump was talking about, of course, malaria tablets. And the FDA are being given new legislation and powers now to bring these in, to fast track these in. The Chinese are talking about tablets that they use for rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, exactly. And
they've all shown some level of effect. Do these any of the particular ones excite you?
I'm falling off me. See, every minute, by the way, you know, I'm getting updates on this. This is my area, clearly. You know? I mean, I'm falling off me. See, there was a trial done 2 days ago in Marseille, of all places, with chloroquine, the drug you just mentioned there.
This is a malaria tablet, yeah.
Yep, 20 patients, severe disease, were given chloroquine, and the viral counts plummeted almost to zero.
So in other words, Donald Trump, for the first time in his life, is actually probably right.
Thankfully, yeah. Someone's feeding him the right line there, I think.
All right, okay. And so this is a passage. Now, he said he's going to ramp up supplies of these for every American citizen who needs them. Should we be doing the same? Should we be saying, you know, let's chuck some of those clinical trial rules out the window? It's called compassionate legislation, is what he's saying in America for the FDA. So should we be doing the same?
I think we should. I mean, well, first of all, chloroquine is freely available now. You can get it now anyway, you know.
By prescription, I assume, yeah.
By prescription, and every doctor can prescribe it for you, you know, and that will begin to happen. There's talk of the HSE now mobilizing around this one, and it's very cheap, which is great. But Trump is talking about more experimental stuff. In other words, that still needs to be tested. It takes time. You've got to be careful. But they're ramping up the whole process to speed up the whole thing, getting rid of all the red tape and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So we may come out of this with a new way to develop drugs, basically, by reforming the systems that we have in place.
Well, if there's any benefit to this, which it's very difficult for people to see any benefit to it at all, I think we've all learned to be a little bit more hygienic. We were all washing our hands a lot more, and I think we will see a rapid decline in the amount of people who are getting influenza and common colds because we're all distancing ourselves.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We'll see a huge decline in those normal diseases that we get on a regular basis and viruses.
I think we may well do. And for me, it's great. Not everybody wants to know about the immune system. I'm a very busy man these days.
So
it's great. But I think you're right, though. There will be a big change in society. Now, this sounds very dramatic, doesn't it? But there is a change.
We're being reprogrammed, aren't we, essentially?
Effectively, we are. Yeah, that's very true, I suppose. Yeah, and the question is, can we stick it out now? Because there's still a worry now that this will get worse, remember, and every government's still worried. You know, we're in the middle of it, you see.
Yeah,
we've got to keep a very close eye on it now. And the number one message is, sadly, stay away from each other. And that's a really important message. I was isolated. I went to Dublin Airport on Tuesday. I've been away, you see. And they said, no, you've got to stay home now for 2 weeks. I've no illness, you know. That's why I'm stuck at home.
That's why you were sitting at your front door while they were interviewing you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the interviewer was down at your gates. I mean,
he was. He was very diligent. Yeah, you know. But like, I went out yesterday for a walk and I saw five teenagers gathering outside the spa. It made my heart sink. No. You can't be doing that.
I agree with you, right? And I heard somebody from Sinn Féin on the news there a few minutes ago. You might have been listening, talking about this, right? And she said it brought a tear to her eye, right? Because everybody else is making the effort. And I saw some kids on RT News there playing chasing on a green, and they have a new game called COVID. And the game is that, you know, one person is nominated, like chasing years ago, to have COVID. And he has to chase everybody. He touches somebody else and they have the COVID. And that's the way the game is played. But, and this part of me says, they're being irresponsible. Their parents should be more responsible, keeping them in, et cetera, et cetera. But there's another part of me saying, I've spent 5 years on this radio station giving out about kids not going out and playing.
Yeah.
And here they are actually doing it because they're in a situation where they've no school and they're bored out of their heads. And I'm giving out about it again. So my heart sinks when I think that they're actually doing something I wanted them to do.
I know. Yeah, it's very tough, Matt. I mean, you want kids to play, don't you? That's a wonderful thing. But sadly, for this next few weeks, they can't do it anymore. They've got to stay away from each other. 2 metres, remember, is the rule. Mm-hmm. And you can't get close to someone, you know, and play a game, whatever it might be. That just will help the thing spread. Yeah. And we've got to stop it spreading. And it's a sad situation, and it's very difficult. But we've got to keep absolutely zealous about this.
Okay, quick prediction before you go, Luke. How long do you think we'll be in, if you want to call it, hysteria mode, before we get to a point where we say, right, we've slowed it down as much as we can, you know, until the vaccine comes along, until the cure comes along or the medication, we just have to let it take its course. How long do you think that'll...
The mathematicians, God bless them, are modelling this now. You know, looking at numbers and how it's changing and so on. A Chinese guy just came out and said, look, if Ireland does what China did, you begin to come out of it towards the end of June, he said, okay?
Right.
Now we're not going to do what China did, where they locked everybody up effectively.
But it's all well and good for China because they can stop people coming in. Let's say, theoretically, we did, and this works. Let's say lockdown works, and we literally bring it down to zero cases, theoretically, right? At what point then do we say, okay, you can get back on a plane again, or people can go back into Ireland, because then it'll just start all over again, won't it?
It's a terrifying thing, and we don't know is the answer, sadly, but we are talking about months and months. That's the sad truth of it. You will see things relax maybe in 3-4 months from now, is one view, right? Things go back to normal.
Do you think the economy can survive that, Luke? I mean, people out of their jobs for 3-4 months, businesses closed for three. How are we going to survive?
And I've got some good musician friends who can't do gigs. That's one example at all.
Absolutely, So I mean, look at radio stations. We talked about that a few minutes ago. Independent radio, which is the lifeblood of the local communities as well.
We're not being
funded like RTE. You know, the lads over in RTE are sitting there saying, actually, the state will pay us anyway. We're grand. We don't worry about advertising. If we don't get advertising, which currently at the moment we're not, our advertising revenue is probably down 30 or 40% because all the hospitality industry are closed down. I mean, radio stations will disappear. It'll back to the 70s with just RTE. So what should the government be doing? Should they be funding all this?
Absolutely. The answer, David McWilliams, you're familiar with Niall, says this in spades. The banks have to give money to everybody. It's kind of strange. It's quantitative easing for every individual now. Add an extra couple of knots to your bank account. Wouldn't that be nice now? But this is what they're talking about.
Well, that's what Trump is doing, isn't it? $1,000 per person per month. Yeah. And the UK government are giving 25,000 euro grants to small businesses.
Yeah, that's the only... That has to happen
But it has to happen now, Luke. Absolutely. Not in 2 weeks.
Absolutely should happen. It should happen in the next hour or whenever, you know. And it's simply, you don't print more money. You just put extra knots.
But you can do that. We've done it before. And obviously we are under EU guidelines. But I think the rules are out the window, to be honest with you, because we've all got it now. I think we can print more money. But in the past, what we've done is we've given that money to the bank to distribute it. We should bypass the banks and just give it to the people.
Absolutely. That has to be the answer to help save people from this economic torture, you know.
All right.
Because remember, now the other key thing is... stress is really bad for your immune system. It makes you much more susceptible, you know?
Absolutely.
And of course, the worst stress of all is economic stress for people, isn't it? So again, you got to just make sure people are supported, because then their immune systems work better and they fight the damn virus. So it's a very important part of the overall strategy here.
Luke, wonderful talking to you. When this is all over, we'll go for a cup of tea.
All right, indeed. Absolutely.
Thanks very much indeed, Professor Luke O'Neill from Trinity College. Let me go to Keane O'Flaherty. Keane, how are you doing?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Now, Keane, you know, there's lots of good stories in this. When I say good stories, you know, there's nothing good about what's happening, unfortunately. But certainly there are people out there trying their best to help others. And of course, you set up the GoFundMe page, Feed Our Heroes. Do you want to talk to me a little bit about it? And what was the intention and whose idea was it?
Yeah, absolutely. We were sitting around here self-isolating on Sunday and saw a tweet from the Matter ED. A team had been dropped food the night before from an anonymous donor, and it seemed to really lift them and made a huge difference to them. I was sitting there going, I wouldn't mind chipping in for, you know, grub for people who are on the front line fighting. We feel pretty helpless sitting at home.
Send them in an old Chinese takeaway wouldn't do them any harm, yeah?
This is, I mean, you know yourself, the good that grub can give you a bit of a lift. It's what you reach for when you're struggling or stressed or whatever, so I'm sure they would have benefited. And I just thought, look, I'm sure there'll be a few people who might be interested in chipping in with me and, you know, make a bit of an impact, then you can make a bit of a wave somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I set up feedtheheroes.com and linked it to a GoFundMe page that people could donate to, and then linked a supplier form. So I was aware kitchens and restaurants were shutting. not entirely certain who'd be open or not. So said, look, if you're staying open and can deliver, fill in the form and we'll put the money your way once we figure out how much hundred of quiz or maybe 1,000 we hit.
Yeah.
I didn't think, you know, I would be here Friday with close to €250,000 and a team of 10 people delivering 50 meals every day to frontline staff across the country and rising.
It's absolutely an incredible response. I know, I was looking at it and it's an incredible response. And it just goes to show you that Irish people currently, a lot of them, by the way, losing their jobs, back on the dole again or whatever it happens to be, and they can still put their hand in their pocket for a fiver or a tenner where they know that people are needed in certain quarters. And we're good at that. We're good. The community spirit is wonderful.
The social solidarity that we've been in receipt of, I guess in the middle of, has been humbling and breathtaking. We're receiving messages from people who are donating, who have loved ones like myself on the front line, who are aware of how self-sacrificing these people are in ordinary life, and have watched over the last couple of weeks as they've doubled down to do triple shifts and stay long hours and just make sure that the front line continues to operate. And they're appreciative that even though we're all doing what we're supposed to do by being at home and isolating, etc., some sense of purpose or activity or some positive activity can come or is available to them.
And you know what? This is what I mentioned to Luke a few minutes ago. There's a kind of level of reprogramming going on in communities and around the world, and certainly on social media as well. And I think when all this ends, and it will all end at some point, hopefully in the near future, and we get back to a level of normality, maybe we'll all think differently. Maybe we'll all have a bit more respect for others and their distance and space. Maybe we'll all have a bit more respect for those who do the hard work when it comes to a time of need. You know, so maybe we're all going to have a bit more respect in the future.
I think you're right to hook on to that. Everybody is keen to chip in, and everyone sees and recognises the sacrifice that needs to be made, and we're doing it for each other. There's something heartening in that. I mean, it's rare in this day and age that you get that sense of social solidarity and a kind of a mass world event type scenario happening. But here we are chipping together and pulling it together for each other. Yeah, you'd hope that that does have an impact. I mean, the last time something like that happened is post-World War II and the Marshall Plan and 30 decades of prosperity. So fingers crossed when we come out the other side of this, we're able to make, as you say, something positive from it.
Well, they are saying that we're going to what they call World War economics, which is essentially what it is. It's World War economics, you know, where we're all, it's uncharted territory for everybody. We don't know what the future holds for us at the moment.
And it's a frightening enough analogy, but it is the way we've seen the response to what we're doing is very much war planning, in a sense that gaps emerge in a supply chain or a line because of a response that's needed, and we just have to fill that gap. It is quite unstructured and it's quite changeable from day to day.
It's
it is
ad hoc.
Very much
it's
a war
ad hoc.
That they're in. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're fighting a war on that front line, and it's crazy.
All right, well, listen, Keane, I appreciate it, and I think everybody appreciates what you've done and what you're doing, and I think we all absolutely appreciate, as Leo Varadkar says, those on the front line, be it the Garda Síochána, the nurses, the doctors, and all those in the vital services in this country. They are the unsung heroes, so to speak. Thank you very
absolutely.
Much,
Leo. No, thank you, and thanks to everyone who's supporting us.
All right, and if you want to get a link to that, by the way, if you want to help out, we'll throw a link up on our Twitter and our Facebook page there to that particular GoFundMe page set up by Keane. And somebody says here now, I wonder if we told Leo Varadkar, or Varadkant as he calls him, we'd keep him as a leader of the country if he gave us a grant and gave a grant to the public, as in the UK or the USA are doing. Would it work? I think that I don't know in the back of Leo's mind at the moment. Is he thinking, if I do a good job here, I get re-elected? Hi, Niall. Would you ask Luke if the old iodine tablets we have stored in the cupboard could treat COVID-19 if they help fight the effects of a nuclear contamination? Surely they could fight the viruses, Mike. Mike, I wouldn't recommend. If anybody has those iodine tablets, since they were given out, which was like 20 or I don't know how many years ago it was, if you still have it, throw it in the bin. I'm sure it's well past its sell-by date at this stage, and I'm absolutely 100% sure that iodine is not a cure for COVID-19, so please don't do that. Now, I'll read the 2 metres. It's not safe for couples to be sleeping together. Aren't they very close together in their bed, says Anna. Well, Anna, as long as you have that agreement with your partner that you're both in it together, well, I don't think it really matters too much. I would hate to think that you wouldn't be consummating your relationship or have no intimacy. Niall, could you do a repeat tonight and over the weekend just for the normality of it all, says Sinead. Well, there is a repeat on Sunday night, Sinead, and Sunday morning as well, by the way. So, Sinead, you will be able to hear those repeats as normal, as you normally would. Hi, Niall. I think it's really important that we keep independent radio going, because it's really important for us as communities and locals that we hear local news, local independent radio, and indeed national independent radio. I think it's really unfair that RTE certainly have a lift up, I think is what he's trying to say, in relation to that particular funding. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And again, I'm saying it on a selfish point of view. Everybody obviously is looking out for themselves in society. I'm looking out for me, and I'm looking out for all the staff here at Classic Hits and all the staff at all the different radio stations around the country who are in the independent sector who need to be funded by the state, because we rely on advertising. That advertising is practically going to disappear over the next couple of weeks. It already is dwindling away because all those businesses are closed. And if we don't have advertising, we don't have money. If we don't have money, we don't stay open. That's the way it works, like every other business in the world. You have to be, you know, you have to sustain that business. RTE don't need to sustain the business because they have your television licence fee. So we're asking and we're pleading with the government and the Broadcasting Authority and everybody else that the government should take some of that licence fee and give it to the independent sector. After all, currently at the moment, RTE are spending less money because they don't have any live sporting events. They don't have very many outside broadcasts currently at the moment. So they should be divvying that money out to the independent sector as well to get us through this difficult time. After the break, I want to take some of your calls too. You can text us or call us. What are you concerned about? And you can let us know. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Colm. Colm, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Colm?
I'm not too bad, yourself.
Good. Now, you are the Lockheed's quiz organisers. And
yes.
Oh, sorry. If you want to call, you were the man who organised it, so that's the name of your quiz. I'm assuming, okay?
There's two of us involved.
Is there?
A guy called Pat.
All right. So where did you come up with this idea?
Well, we've been doing quizzes professionally for about 5 or 6 years. We do about 7 or 8 a week. And,
right.
We said, since we're stuck at home now and work has dried up, we're going to try and do a few quizzes online. So we've come up with a way of up to 5,000 people being able to do a quiz with us online.
How can you get 5,000 doing it at the same time?
We're using conferencing software that's normally used in large kind of conference centres and stuff like that, like where
right.
people could be used for polling and for answering questions and for a bit of fun.
Right, okay. So this is happening on Friday night at 9 o'clock.
Yep, tonight, okay. Yeah, 9
okay,
o'clock.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying, tonight at 9 o'clock. Okay, sorry, I didn't want to confuse people there. So the online quiz has contestants from all corners of the world. They're going to be from America, Australia, Saudi Arabia, Birmingham, and deepest, darkest Cork, according to your press
relief. Drimley, we had someone on from Drimley, so we had a bit of fun at their expense. It's also, it's a live stream, so people can watch it on their TV, like a normal game show if they want to.
Right.
And they can play with us online then as well, too.
So, and what's the prize?
Well, tonight it depends, I suppose, on how many people join in. We're only kind of getting enough money that we can, you know, get a prize and cover the cost of the software and also pay ourselves.
Right, okay, okay.
But, yeah.
So how does it work? If, let's say I want to jump in your quiz tonight, Colm. How does it work? What do I have to do?
So you can go to livequiz.ie and you can buy yourself a ticket. And
right.
Then you'll
how much is that, by the way?
It's €6, and that's all okay. The VAT and the taxes and all that.
Right, okay. So livequiz.ie, yeah, go on.
Livequiz.ie, you can buy your ticket there, and then tonight, from there, you'll be sent an email directly from that to tell you how to partake, and you're given a code to go to this website, and it logs into your phone, and then you can either use a second device to watch the live stream, or just answer the questions. And decide.
So will I be looking at a video of you two lads with loads of questions?
Yes, you can do that too.
Have you got one of your questions? Have you got your questions there? Give us a question there.
Well, tonight's questions are all about friends, so I'm going to have to give you a friends question.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I'll try anyway. Go on, yeah. I'm brutal. I hate the programme, but go on. Give me a friends question.
In what year did Friends end?
I'm going to fling a guess out here. I'm going to go for 2006. 2006.
Oh, I think you're a little bit late there.
Why am I?
It's 2002.
Was it? Okay, well, it wasn't a bad guess, considering I hate the programme.
Actually, apologies, it came to an end in 2004.
All right, well, so, okay, well, then it wasn't too bad. I'm only 2 years off. All right, so they're the type of questions that we ask. So they're certainly not going to be questions that you would need some sort of massive academic knowledge for, okay? So
not this one, but we are running quizzes then every week, every Tuesday night, where people can join in, and they're just standard pub quizzes. So we're going to do a theme quiz every Friday, and we're going to do a standard quiz every Tuesday. And people can join in, and if whatever suits them, if the theme suits them, they might have a bit of fun with that. And if they don't like themes, they can just do a normal Tuesday night with us. So.
Well, look, it's a great idea, particularly at the moment where people are social isolating and people are kind of bored of watching Netflix and bored of watching the telly and doing the normal things that we probably do anyway. So it's something a little bit different. And, you know, as many people as you want really can get in there. Well, you know, up to 5,000 teams. So it's livequiz.ie. If you want to play tonight, it's on at 9 o'clock tonight. You need to obviously go onto the website sooner rather than later and register to play tonight if you want. And it's €6 to get in. And then depending on how many people obviously go in, the prize goes up. Obviously, as the more people go in, I imagine that's the way it probably works.
Indeed. Or you can watch it for free as well if you want and you just want to have a bit of a laugh.
Okay, yeah. So if you want to just sit around with your family watching it and you don't actually win a prize, but you can just take part. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Like any game show.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Colm. Wonderful idea. All right.
Thank you.
Bye, bye, bye. Ella Burns says, hi, Niall. While I agree that nurses and doctors are on the front line, remember, who gets the supplies to them? Who feeds and fuels the country? Truck drivers. Yeah, you're right. They do. And I know of only one garage offering free coffee, let alone providing a free meal. If we don't stop, the country stops. Or if we stop, the country stops. In the UK, we are denied access to toilets and washing facilities due to the virus, but every day we leave the house for no recognition but risk being overexposed. Rant over, says Adam. Okay, and I'm not being patronising. Adam, you are absolutely right. That's a round of applause for all the truck drivers. And I don't want everybody now texting in about their own jobs, by the way, but everybody who's providing essential services. Actually, I'm going to give myself a round of applause. This is an essential service too. We're giving you information that you really, really need. And let me go to Claire. Claire, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Claire?
Hi, Niall, the gorgeous Boylan.
Thank you very much indeed, Claire, the gorgeous listener.
You've got all the rugged good looks of it. Kiss them over.
I said, what? The Cliffs of Moher. Thanks very much, Claire. I'll take that as a compliment either way.
It is a compliment. They are stunning. You can't move them. If you could move them, the government would have centralised them by now.
Oh, they probably would have. Or they would have put tax on them, some sort of tax on them.
But yeah, Claire.
Claire, you had a guest house.
Yes.
Before all this happened.
Yes.
And now you don't have a guest house.
Well, we do have a guest house.
But it's
just
an empty guest house.
Yeah, it's an empty guest house. But sure, it's okay. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, we have to take it on the chin like everybody else.
But you're losing money, aren't you?
We've no money, no. And we're okay, I suppose, because we got the mortgage paid off last year. But right. I'd say there are other people here that invested quite a lot of money earlier on in the year here.
Right.
You know, keep the place right, like.
Yeah, of course.
Keep it up and nice. And they're going to suffer now.
What's the name of your guest house, by the way? Give it a bit of a plug there for when we does reopen.
All right, okay. I shouldn't be doing this. That's
why?
Kind of like taking advantage of
it. Dad will take advantage. Take advantage. Go ahead. What's the name of the guest house?
Pier House.
Pier House.
And where it's it's one of the only ones that actually look right at the cliff. It's the most stunning.
And whereabouts is it? Where exactly is it?
It's down by the pier in Doolin.
Oh, in Doolin. All right, okay.
So you're staring right out at the pier and you're staring out onto the golf course. And
sounds beautiful. And how many rooms have you got?
And it's staring also at the Cliffs of Moher.
How many rooms have you got?
We only do 4 rooms.
Okay, well, that's okay.
But you couldn't be doing any more than 4 because you'd have to have staff. And I'm not that type of person. I'm not a very good boss. I don't like to tell people what to do.
You're running it yourself, essentially?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay,
yeah.
So it's just like a big house with spare rooms in it.
That's it, yeah. They have trannies. What do they call them in Australia? Trannies, is it?
They have
on suites. They're on suites and
then suites, outdoor.
They're actually inside. They're actually in the room.
Right. Oh, actually in the room. Can you believe that?
Right, posh altogether, boy. Jesus, I know how we got the money through that. Like, but for the last 20 years of working it up, like, we started out with one room and, you know, like, and then did another one and did another one. You know yourself, like.
By the way, what do you think the government should be doing for? Now you've said you paid for it already, so you don't have a mortgage, so it's not as tough as it would have been on you. But what do you think the government should be doing?
We have another business that we're still paying on, and
God,
that might go to the wall if we don't mind ourselves. Right?
Yeah.
I've so many other people that I know that I've met today in the shop. You know, when they went out to the shop, and God, there's so many people that are in distress.
Yeah,
because they spent a lot of money and there's no comeback. Like, but I think one of the biggest things that I've heard that I'm not happy about is, right, say you're a private landlord and they want now the private landlord to suck it into them.
Yeah. You can't evict your tenant.
You can't evict anyone, yeah?
Yeah.
But you were the one who's supposed to go on and get the mortgage thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what this is called, but...
the mortgage holiday, yeah.
Yeah, the mortgage holiday. You're not getting any holiday because at the end of the day, you're going to have to pay it on.
Of course,
right?
You have to pay it back, yeah.
So if you're older like us, like, the thing is that your tenants are going to get off with it. Fine, that's grand. But you're not going to get off with it. So you're going to have to pay it on. And if you had the property that you were relying on, it means that you'll get nothing out of it. So your pension won't be paid.
No, and that's it. And you're 100% right. The government calling this a mortgage holiday is complete and utter nonsense because you do have to pay it back. It'll be recapitalised onto your mortgage or added at the end of it. Claire, lovely talking to you, by the way. And I hope your guest house opens up very, very soon again. And I hope you get loads of guests.
I just wanted to say one more thing. To say one thing that people aren't aware of, that I'm hoping that people don't do right now, young people especially, and their parents. There's a lot of parents out there who want to help their children. And there's a lot of brothers and sisters who want to help each other. But what I wanted to point out was, if you go on a loan with anyone now, or a mortgage with anyone now, there is a thing called joint and severable liability.
Okay.
Do you understand what that is?
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah. So I got caught with this because I had to I was with someone years ago, and my children are nearly grown up now, but I got caught in a mortgage with someone years ago. We were partners and whatever. But I wanted to point out that if you sign down on a loan with anyone else, if they're negligent and they don't care about it and they run away, it means that you, as the person who tries to pay it, is the person that the banks will pursue.
Of course, they will. They will pursue the person who they deem to have the most amount of money and is most likely to pay it. I understand that, Claire. A whole different topic for another time. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Ronan. Ronan, you're a classic kid. How you doing, Ronan?
How are you, Niall?
Now, Ronan, you're a publican.
I am, yeah, in rural Ireland.
Well, you were a publican up to last week.
Well, yeah, it was a school come to Mayo.
All right. So, what's the name of your bar, by the way?
It's Gibbons' Pub and School.
Right, Gibbons' Pub, all right. And so, yeah. And how are you managing, or how are you coping now being closed, no customers?
Well, I'm not too bad, but... First of all, the first thing I want to say is... I don't like being on the radio here talking to you, but I don't feel of any choice because the BFI, if they were doing their job, they would be representing us. But it's all coming down to insurance.
Yep.
Insurance, no, we're not looking for handouts. My policy, I have business interruption cover on it, gross profit protection, you name it. Have a significant policy, you know, cost-wise and everything, and now the insurance companies tell us we're not covered.
And why are you not covered? Why is this considered to be an unprecedented act or something like that? Or
well, some insurance companies, I've been talking to other publicans, are saying that we weren't forced to close.
But you were forced to close.
Yes, I know we were, but some insurance companies are saying we weren't enclosed. We weren't enforced to close.
So until the government brings in legislation, which they did today or yesterday and goes through the weekend, so if the government are saying by law we're demanding you close, does that make a difference then?
Well, it should make a huge difference.
It shouldn't really make a difference. You were told to close.
Exactly. Now, what you could say is you could see some pubs reopen just to be forced to be closed.
And this is what happened in Limerick yesterday, of course, as well. We were talking about this in Limerick yesterday.
Yeah. No, as I said, we're not looking for handouts. All we want is
no, you wanted fairness. Yes, you wanted... How many staff have you got, by the way?
There's just three of us.
Three of us. Okay, well, that's three people who have families, I assume.
Wife and two young kids.
Yeah.
And as I said, we're not looking for handouts. All we want is for pressure to be put on insurance companies to honour... I'll give you an example. I requested a claim form yesterday.
Right.
And in the claim form, there wasn't one mention of business interruption. Yes, it's on our policy. Why is that?
You know, you think the insurance companies are looking at ways to get away with not paying, and that's essentially
exactly, yeah, exactly. Look, we're not looking for a loss. We just want a bit of fair play.
Yeah, well, you just want your business to be sustained while it's closed. Yeah, you're not looking for to make money out of this. Yeah.
No,
no. Of course not. I mean, look, I mean, things were tight enough, but we were
struggling. Well, if the insurance company is not paying, why aren't the Vintners Association going to the minister and saying, well, listen, my members, they're paying me every year to be members, okay, my members are not being covered by insurance, and my members need to be compensated for their loss because you guys told them to close.
Exactly.
Because they didn't volunteer to close.
That's the very first point I made to you. Was if the VFI were doing their job and representing the publicans, I wouldn't be on this radio show talking to you today.
Okay, so I tell you what I'll do. I will get Aisling and Helena on the case for Monday to try and get somebody, a representative of the Vintners Association, on to talk about that, all right?
Yeah, look, what I mean, there's worse situations than me in this moment.
But everybody's situation is important. Everybody's situation.
Yeah. I just want to highlight this.
Okay, well, listen, Ronan, I appreciate you highlighting it. And if you listen in on Monday, I will hopefully have somebody from the Vintners Association on, and I'll put those very questions to you on your behalf, all right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ronan. Appreciate the call, all right? Thank you very much indeed for coming to the air. Mark, you're a classic kid. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Only a minute and a half, Mark, so we'll have to make this very quicker. We're coming into the weekend. Yeah. We all need to smile, but I know you don't have good news for me because you're a taxi driver and the work is drying up.
Work is drying up. The hotels closed, restaurants closed, bars are closed. Nobody out shopping, nobody coming in through airports, there's nothing moving. Our government are telling us, they're going to give us £200 a week, and
that's
going to keep us going, because, I don't know about you, but £200 a week wouldn't, family of four, what's that going to do for family of four? But of course, if you're in the civil service, you're going to be okay, aren't you?
Well, this is my problem with this all day, that this affects nobody except private sector workers, because public sector are fine, or those who had been on social welfare, unfortunately, nothing changes for them. But for you, a private sector worker out there trying to, the lifeblood of the country as well, I mean, you should be looked after too. But you're taking the pain.
I'm actually on the Stillorgan Road here. I'm going to go past your arch nemesis here, RTE, and they're going to be okay in there, aren't they?
Ah, yeah. Shout in and say hello to Joe Duffy for me there while you're there, will you?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Exactly.
It's unfair. It's an unfair system that's going on now at the moment. So what's going to happen at the end of it? Why don't they just give everybody £500 a week?
Well, I'm wondering, will Joe Duffy give me half his wages? You know what I mean? And my boss pay me.
Exactly. Why don't we all get £500 a week? If you're working, I mean, people who are already on a social welfare payment, nothing's going to change for them.
Yeah.
But why don't the rest of us get looked after? We're the ones contributing our taxes all the time, paying for everything in society. When it came to the crash of the banks and everything, it was all, the debts were.
Yeah, we're the people. We paid for it.
The ones that paid for everything, and they were the ones that got away. Everybody else.
So, Mark, just very quickly, Mark, because we've only got 10 seconds. Mark, how much business would you have lost, percentage-wise? Are you down 50%? Are you down, what are you doing?
Oh, I'll tell you what, 50, 60, you're going to tip 80% or more. I'll be honest with you, Noel, I've stopped working because I don't see the point in going out now at this stage and tormenting myself driving around for what I was earning to what I can.
It's costing you money to drive around, I know.
It's cost me money, and I'm not going to put myself in the situation of catching the virus and passing on to somebody else.
That's another thing that we don't think about, complete strangers getting into your car, you have no idea who they are. Yeah,
completely, I mean, what are you doing? Have a pair of gloves on you? No,
a bit of spray,
bit of spray, and somebody sneezes on the back of your neck and
stuff. Yeah, okay. Mark, I get it. We're going to try and address all these questions next week. Mark, thank you very much indeed. I will try and get the taxi authority, or should I say the... it's got to hit my head now. The authority will be on the air. We'll try and get somebody from the authority on Monday or Tuesday in relation to that. All right, there's loads of people who have loads and loads of questions. And by the way, just to mention, it's Mother's Day on Sunday. So don't forget it. It is Mother's Day this Sunday. Because in the mess and all the thinking and all the things you have going on in your head at the moment and all the worry, you might just forget about Mammy. All right? So remember, recognise the Irish Mammies this Sunday.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.